Last week we began this series together. I titled Unexpected. And we looked at the birth narratives that are recorded there in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. And we talked about how in some ways these narratives of the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus were in some ways unexpected. You see, Zechariah and Mary, they were surprised by the angel's visit and the announcements of the birth. However, as we began to dig a little deeper and look at the text a little bit more, what we find is what's happening is not altogether unexpected. But as Luke opens his gospel, opens his narrative, Luke is leading us into the story of God. And that how these birth narratives of John the Baptist and of Jesus remind us of other accounts in the history of Israel in the Old Testament. And what we discover is how God is faithfully fulfilling his promises through Jesus. Now, by opening his gospel with these two birth announcements, notice here that Luke is very intentionally placing these in parallel. He's placing them side by side. And I think, I think that in part, what he's doing is he's allowing us as readers, and what he intends for us to do is to compare these two narratives, to look at them and see what's happening in these stories. And one of the significant conclusions that we see or that we can draw from both the announcement to Zechariah and the announcement to Mary, one of the conclusions that we see is their reactions to these announcements. As Luke records, Zechariah, Luke chapter 1 and verse 20, did not believe the words of the messenger. And although troubled, we read that Mary responds in faith. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me, or may your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary's response to the announcement is a response of faith. It's one that demonstrates her willingness to follow God's word, whereas Zechariah, his response was doubt. And we see there that his mouth, he's not able to speak. He was muted for a time. But Mary, in the next account, the next thing that we read, burst forward in a song of praise. In Luke chapter 1 and verses 46 through 55, perhaps one of the earliest Christian hymns, Mary's Song. It's been celebrated. It's been considered by Christians throughout the world and for many, many generations. It's important to Luke in the Gospel of Luke in that it introduces us to some of the core themes that we read about and that we discover as we read through the Gospel of Luke. But it also reflects the good news of God's kingdom. And if we read carefully, one of the things that we're going to notice is that the Messiah's reign, Jesus' reign, it's not going to be like others. The reign of Jesus is not like others. And like much of our New Testament literature, Mary's song of praise is just interwoven with themes, threads from the Hebrew Scriptures or from the Old Testament. Throughout this song that Mary declares that she praises the Lord for, we see references to the Psalms, to the prophets, all through this song. And it's styled much like Hannah's song of praise in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. We're not going to read that this morning, but I would strongly encourage you to take a moment this week. Turn back to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 2, and read Hannah's song of praise and look at Mary's song side by side. Compare those. Mary's song connects us to the faithfulness of God. Her song connects us to the story of God. Her song connects us to His faithfulness. And what we also see as we peer into this song is a young woman whose life is just saturated by the Scriptures. Her life is full of God's Word. It's hidden in her heart. And we see also her surrender to the Lord. Her song of praise is an example of devotion to God, being devoted to the Lord. We see through her song, the Son of the Most High, Luke 1 and verse 32, whose kingdom will never end, verse 33. But that reign will not be as expected. Let's dive a little bit into this song for a moment, beginning in in chapter 1 and verse 46. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." It's hard for me to even say those words without singing. I don't know if you're familiar with that song or not. Mary understands. Look at her words. Her reliance upon God as her Savior. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She understands her reliance upon God as Savior. She recognizes her dependence upon the Lord. And we see that the Lord looks upon the lowly. He strengthens them. He lifts them up. He's mindful of His servants. He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. Mary's not proud. She's not boastful. She's not arrogant. She realizes her position, her need for God, her Savior. And we see in her words that God cares for the humble. He cares for the lowly. Again, these are all themes that Luke is going to highlight throughout the gospel. It's central to the message of the gospel, and it's central to the message of Jesus. Recall the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Mary sees her humble state before the Lord, much like Hannah, if we were to go back and read 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. Mary sees herself as God's humble servant. And Mary praises God for His mighty acts. Notice as we continue in verse 51, "He has performed mighty deeds with His arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but He has lifted up the humble." Both Mary and Hannah. See, those who would stand out and rest on their boast, rest on their confidence, as those who are brought down by the Lord. You see, in our culture, it's often the proud, it's often the boastful, the self-confident. It's often these types of personalities that are exalted in our culture. We live in a culture that elevates celebrities. We elevate athletes, maybe even business executives and preachers and pastors who pride themselves on their accomplishments. But do you see how this song and what's being presented here is a reversal of what we often see? It's not the proud. It's not the self-confident that are exalted. In fact, God brings those down. When these are the models we point to, when these are the models that we often look to for development and growth, what we see is that God honors the humble, that He elevates, that He lifts up the lowly. It's a reversal of what we often see in our world. And Mary's song points to this central, this core truth of God's kingdom. The Lord exalts the humble, but He brings down the proud. And this is something that was central and core to the message of Jesus as well. This unexpected reversal of God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." See, in Mary's world, she's living under Roman oppression. She's living under the heavy rule of Rome, and she recognizes a servant's reason for boasting. It's not in their accomplishments. It's not in the status others would give them. A servant's boast is in the Lord, who scatters the proud, but elevates the humble. The Lord sustains. The Lord fills, the Lord satisfies, verse 53, Luke chapter 1. He has filled the hungry with good things, but He has sent the rich away empty. What is it that we strive for? What is it that we desire to fill our lives up with? See, so often we're caught in the trap of seeking after those things that fill us, or at least we think that fill us, a relationship, a career, an escape, an adventure, the next high, a desire for pleasure and comfort. And what we find is it often leads to emptiness and isolation. We learn through the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a difficult book, but one of the things that we see in that book is how unpredictable life can be. Even with our best efforts, our best planning, our best intention, life is unpredictable. And the author concludes there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14. All has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. I've tried the world. I've tried everything in the world. I've had everything the world can offer, and what I've found is it's empty. It's like smoke. It's a vapor, as we read in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not meaning. But meaning is found in the Lord and His commands. You know, you and I, we can chase after any numbers of things that we think will fill us. We've probably chased after many of those things ourselves to try to satisfy a desire. And you know where it ends. We've all been there. But notice Mary, And what she teaches us through her song, it is the Lord who sustains. It's the Lord who fills. It's the Lord who satisfies our deepest desires and needs. Jesus, are we surprised? Teaches the same thing. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses 5 and 6, and if you haven't caught this pattern yet, we're just going through the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. Notice what Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." What does Jesus say? We can chase after anything, but blessed is the one who seeks after the things of the Father. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In our longing to find fulfillment, it's God who strengthens. It's the Lord who supplies. It's the Lord who sustains. Mary's song is unexpected. It's a reversal of what we often see and what we often recognize in our world. The humble are exalted, the proud are scattered, the rich are empty, the hungry are filled. It's so different from everything we know. It's not how we understand our world. It's unexpected. But if we follow the story, it's not entirely unexpected at all. A man named Abraham and his wife, Sarah, who were unable to have children, become the father of a great nation. A woman who is in deep pain and anguish, who's in grief, who's unable to have a child of her own. Her name is Hannah. She gives birth to a child named Samuel who's dedicated to the Lord. And a humble servant named Mary. A servant of the Lord who's found favor in the sight of God will give birth to the Messiah. You see, following the story, we see how God is faithfully fulfilling his promises. As Messiah Jesus enters the world, he unites himself with humanity. In his kingdom, in his reign, it's not going to be what others expected. It's not going to be by force. It's not going to be by military might. It's not going to be by power. It's a reversal of what we so often see. Jesus himself does not exalt himself. He does not elevate himself, but he takes on an insignificant birth in an insignificant town, hardly recognized by the world, for the benefit of others. And his kingdom is not for the proud. It's not for the boastful. It's not for the arrogant. But for the humble who hunger and who thirst for righteousness, for what he alone can supply. See, the Word of God and the story of God, it often challenges what our understanding of success is. It challenges what we understand fulfillment to be. It's a story that challenges us to rely on Him and not our worldly pursuits and gains. In our culture today, Mary's song of praise stands out. It stands out as something that's completely cross-cultural. Where we often value success, power, wealth, the message of her song challenges our common understandings. Her song challenges us to consider what it is that we value, what it is that we pursue. And are they aligned with God's purposes? Today, as we reflect on this season, as we think about this birth, as we look at Mary's song of praise and consider it for a moment this morning, are we trusting His faithfulness? Are we trusting in His faithful promises?